We'll turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14, the book of Joshua chapter 14. We see our brother here declaring something. Joshua chapter 14, we want to turn our focus here to verse number 12. This is the book of Joshua. Indeed. But it's Brother Caleb that's speaking. Okay, you remember those two guys? Brother Caleb says here in verse number 12, and the word of God is recorded in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua 14:12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. There in the latter part of the verse, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's pray. Father, your goodness towards us is great. We thank you for the blessings of the day and your word and the privilege to be able to worship you already. We pray, Father, you'd help us as your children. We'd focus upon you and the word you have for us today. Help us to worship you. We praise your name that you are God and beside you there's none other. We thank you, Father, for so great salvation through your Son. We pray, Father, that you'd help and bless. Lord, take me out of the way and use me and help me to speak. Lord, help us to hear you speaking unto us. Father, we pray for those that are here and not saved. Father, you'd break stony hearts. Lord, you'd knock down all those excuses and all those things that different ones and even we before you saved us put in the way. Lord, you take all those things down and knock them down and just reveal the greatness of sin, the condemnation of it. And Lord, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, we pray you'd save sinners in our midst. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. Brother Caleb, some years later, after these words had been uttered, he had never forgot them. He had never forgot the promise of God. He had never forgot the purpose that he pursued because of what God had said. And he declares here unto Joshua, and who is the leader of the children of Israel in the day of this writing, he says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The specter of the Anakims and those giants that lived in that place, that was what Caleb had before him in that day, and that's that particular portion there in the middle. I'm only reading that at the beginning and at the end that we might take this, and I pray be able to bring this to us, asking the question for each one of us, asking ourselves, what is our mountain? What is your mountain? The account of Brother Caleb we see picks up in Numbers chapter 13. We're just going to walk through the Old Testament scriptures here and see about our brother, see about how it is that he lived, things that he said, things that he pursued. We see in Numbers chapter 13 that our brother is a leader. He's a leader here. Moses is going to send out some spies to spy out the land of Canaan shortly after the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. They spent time at Mount Sinai, got the directive and law of the Lord, how they're to operate as a nation, how they're to worship him, the things that they are to do, many things that they are to do and obey when they go into the land. We see here in verse number 6 that one of the spies sent into the land by Brother Moses, in verse number 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And so Caleb is one of these men. And we also know that Brother Joshua is amongst them too. In chapter 13 here in verse number 30, the spies go out and they see the land. Remember that big cluster of grapes that they brought back? And oh, it was just, it was a land indeed flowing with milk and honey. The 10 spies say, no, we can't do so. There's giants in the land. Verse number 28, they've got walled cities. They're very great. And those giants are at hand. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, all these different ones. Verse number 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. See, Moses is the leader, but Brother Caleb being one of the leaders there, the leader of the tribe of Judah, he says, y'all settle down. Y'all hush. Don't listen to these 10. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against it, the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up that evil report, and they saw those giants and such. We come to chapter 14. And the Lord is displeased with them, or the report of the spies is such, and that it is, and the people are discouraged in all of this. They're murmuring against the leadership, against Moses and Aaron here, as we see in chapter 14. Understand that and see that. It's the people's problem, but they're going to take it out on somebody else. Take it out on the leadership. The Lord has set a plan before them that's very plain. And here, and they're talking about this, brought us into a land, verse 3 of chapter 14, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Said, wouldn't it be better if we went back to Egypt? So let's make a captain and go back to Egypt. Isn't that terrible? The Lord having delivered them so greatly in such a mighty way. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, verse number 5, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. It said, they made that statement, we're not part of this. You're forgetting what God has done for us, how the Lord has delivered us so greatly. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. They remember the promises, don't they? They remember the great deliverance and the power of the Lord exhibited. Were they leaving Egypt of their own accord? Yet they did leave Egypt. Why? How? Why? Because the Lord said they're leaving Egypt. And if the Lord said that they were leaving Egypt and made this promise to them, if the Lord delight in us, verse 8, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. He said, they say, only rebel ye not ye against the Lord. Because that's what this is. This is rebellion. Doubting our Lord, even in this, facing this human adversity that we see, if we doubt our Lord and go against what he has told us and what he's going to do with us, we're a pack of rebels. Don't rebel against him. You know, that's a question to ask. Which way you want to go down? That's the way we look at it. Naturally, we always think we're going to go down. Do you want to go down being overrun by the enemy and being overrun by the world, and as they said, our wives and our children will be made a prey? Do you want to go down that way? Or do you just want to go ahead and go down serving the Lord and obeying him and following him? Maybe it would be that we wouldn't go down. Maybe it would be that we would. But which would be the blessing? Which would be the best? Amen. He says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The Lord is with us. He's not with them. He's with us. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. We're going to take it out on you guys. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The Lord said what he did against them. He's going to threatens to disinherit them and to destroy the children of Israel. Moses intercedes again. We find Brother Moses interceding again. A man that walks with God, a man that's desired to see the glory of the Lord, the man that is desired to see the way of the Lord, what's he do? He does like the Lord. He intercedes. He had a promise made to him that the Lord would make of him a great people. And he said, no, Lord, forgive him. He does that here. And so he pleads with the Lord in verse number 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. That's what Moses brings back to the Lord. Verse 19, pardon, I beg thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. I have pardoned according to thy word. And the Lord makes a declaration here. Verse number 22, because all those men which have seen my glory, remember all the leaders were brought up to Mount Sinai to see the glory of the Lord, and they ate and they drank before the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, listen, because he had another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so the Lord speaks on to them about the murmuring of the people and makes this declaration that Caleb will go in. Verse number 30, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, those that murmured against the Lord, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, verse 31, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms. See, they wanted something else rather than what the Lord said. And 40 years bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. In verse number 36, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against them by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. That was right then. That's something to be noted about those 10 spies. It happened then. So Brother Caleb, he said, let's trust the Lord. Let's rest in our Lord. Our Lord has said he's going to do this impossible thing. Our whole account from Egypt is an impossible thing. Our whole account from our daddy Jacob going down into Egypt is an impossible thing. We are the people of impossibilities because we've got a Lord that has the power to overcome impossibilities. And great faith he had in the Lord. And what did he have in this faith? This faith in the Lord was based upon what the Lord had said. What the Lord had said and what the Lord had done. We come over to Numbers chapter 26. We come over to Numbers chapter 26 and we see here a numbering of the people. And we read this in verse number 62. And those that were numbered of them were 20,000, all males from a month old and upward. For they were not numbered among the children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. Verse number 63, these are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. This is way back. But among these that have been, there's an accounting, there's a numbering here in chapter 26 that we've not gone through, but they're numbered again 40 years later. But among these was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priests numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. They numbered the fighting men and the men of Israel again before they're going to go in. And Joshua's there, and Caleb's there. And if you remember from our chart, that chart I gave you about the tribes of Israel and how they're mentioned through the scriptures, you remember, I think that numbering that I've got there is the first numbering. I need to go back and take a look at that. But we saw in that numbering there were over 600,000 men, fighting men in Israel, when they came out of Egypt at Sinai. Whatever the number was, let's say it's 600,000. I think it's 640,000, something like that. 638,998 had died. And two of those in the count had not. Now, you and I, we can certainly fall prey to the temptation of the overwhelming majority that would be against the way of the Lord and be against us in our desire and our pursuit to follow our Lord. But what do you think about those odds? What do you think about the count of that enemy? See, our faith in our Lord, we need to have faith in our Lord when things are good. We don't need to forget Him. But when things are difficult and things look difficult and hard and impossible, may the Lord help us that we have faith like our brothers did there, like our brother Caleb did there. Again, in chapter 32, we see it here mentioned again in the book of Numbers. In verse number 10, we read in Numbers chapter 32, verse number 10, and the Lord's anger was kindled. At the same time, he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Hear that? May we wholly follow our Lord. And every whit of life, don't take any part of life and hold it back from the Lord, but all every aspect of our life, wholly follow our Lord. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord. May we wholly follow our Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Of these men, these fighting men that were of age, you go do the math. That's a little study you can go do. Take a look at 600,000 dying over the course of 40 years and see how many funeral services they had on average every day. Every day. Every day there were those dying of their troop. In chapter 34, we see preparation to go in to Canaan, and the taking of the land, the distribution of the land. And you remember how we saw in chapter 13 that Brother Caleb was a leader over the tribe of Judah? We'll take a look here in chapter 34, and we'll take a look here at verse number 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. It's the new leadership that's coming in, that the Lord's bringing in. And you shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He's still there. Now, all the rest of those guys, now I want you to see something and understand something. Caleb is 85 years old or thereabouts. How old are these other guys? None of them are any older than 59-ish. They would say, what's this old man doing here? But this old man, and he wasn't an old-looking man. But we would think that maybe in our day with the way the time of our lives are and that. The testimony of Caleb, Brother Caleb, he was just as strong as he was when they went to take the land the first time. The Lord had done that for him. Why? He followed the Lord wholly. Why is this old man here? This reason this old man's here is because he's faithful to the Lord. He believed what the Lord said. He took it to heart and to life. Brother Caleb, Brother Joshua, Brother Caleb was willing to give his life for what the Lord said. In Deuteronomy, we see, as Brother Moses preaches to the children of Israel, a series of two or three messages there in the book of Deuteronomy, once again it is mentioned, the faithfulness of our brother. Brother Moses says there in Deuteronomy 1, verse number 36, save Caleb, talking about the rebellion that was there at the first going into Canaan, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, the Lord speaking, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Once again, in another book, our brother's faithfulness to his God, his holding on to the promise of the Lord, his looking to the Lord for strength to be able to do what the Lord had called him to do, is mentioned once again. In Joshua chapter 14, we come to the chapter of our text verse, and we see here that the land is being divided. Brother Joshua is leading the children of Israel, and they're going into the land. The Lord's giving them success. They have some hard knocks. They don't follow the Lord in some things, and they get suckered in some other things. And Brother Caleb comes, and he yet remembering what the Lord had told and what the Lord had promised comes into Brother Joshua and reminds him of this. Verse number 6 of Joshua 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Remember Joshua 40 years ago? Remember that? 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Isn't that great? Because he followed his Lord wholly, and he believed the Lord. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. The Lord made him a promise, as we've seen. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Something about our brother. He was one of the children of Israel. He was a leader of the tribe of Judah. And when all this rebellion took place and the Lord's judgment fell upon the whole nation, you know what Brother Caleb said? He didn't say, family, let's pack up. We're getting out of here. We're going our own way. But you know what? Our brother endured. He endured with his own. He with them bore. And you think about all those funerals. Like I said, you do that math over the course of 40 years, and that's just the men, 600,000. Not to mention the women and that would be at hand. He bore with it. He waited 40 years. Because you know what? The Lord said, you're going to sojourn in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day, and this generation's going to die off except Caleb and Joshua. And you know what Caleb said? That's what the Lord says. That's what we're going to do. You see that? Now, you know what? He longed for that land because it had been promised him. But when the Lord said, punishment is going to be upon this nation, Caleb said, we'll bear it. He didn't disassociate himself from it. He didn't separate himself from it, did he? He said, I'm 85 years old, verse 11. As yet I am strong this day. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was, as my strength was then, even so did my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Remember how the spies said so? And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. His faith was in his Lord, and he trusted in his Lord, and he knew he had a responsibility, a thing to go meet and a thing to go pursue. And he said, give me this mountain like the Lord said, and the Lord will help me to do. The Lord will help me to do what he's told us to go do. His faith was in his Lord. But he had a conviction in that to go and pursue his Lord. He loved the word of his Lord, didn't he? He had faith and he had hope, as we've recently took a look at. And you know what? It was all unto action. Faith unto action, hope unto action, and love for his Lord and his word unto action. I can't help but work that in there. But that's the truth. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. In chapter 15 of Joshua, we see over here the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah. In verse number 13, it says this, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephthah, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove those three sons of, drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And so Caleb went and pursued. And you know what? The Lord blessed him. He had faith in his Lord and what he had promised, and that he had, that the Lord had said, you can have it, and I'll give you the wherewithal to pursue it and to have it for my glory. It goes on in Joshua chapter 21 to tell more about the fields of the city, and different, some cities were given over to the Levites in that region, as it was according to the command of the Lord. You know what? And Brother Caleb didn't back off on conquering them too, even though it was going to be the Levites that were going to occupy it, if we understand it correctly. You can go over to the book of Judges, and you can see there, yet in chapter 1, where our brother is mentioned, and his faith in the Lord, and his dedication, and wholly following the Lord, how his daughter desired something of him, and he, being blessed of the Lord, was able to do that. And Hebron was given unto Brother Caleb because of his faithfulness to his Lord. He believed the Lord's promise. He believed the Lord could help him to do the impossible. I kind of wonder about the stature of Brother Caleb in the working of the Lord. I have no idea, but I wonder if he wasn't maybe a man that was shorter and stockier rather than being big and tall. I mean, wouldn't that add to it, the Lord sending a man that was of that physique and that strength in that a small package and go and defeat the mighty of the world? That's the way our Lord works. I don't know. We'll meet him one day. In conclusion, what is your mountain? In Joshua 14, verse number 12, our brother says, now therefore give me this mountain. You know, sometimes, well, all the time, we've got mountains we need to conquer. We're not talking about the literal here. We're talking about the things of our lives. They are literally in our lives, but we're not talking about earth and rocks and such as that. We're talking about the mountains that you and I face. We all face them. We all have them. Brother Caleb said, give me this mountain. If you will, we can bring this here today to us. Lord, help me to conquer this mountain. We're the children of God. We are made kings and priests unto our Lord, as we've seen recently. Our Lord cares about us. And the scripture tells us that if our Lord has given, our God and our Father has given His Son, He will not hold back anything else from us. He will give us what we need in every respect. May we have faith in Him regarding such. Brother Caleb says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. See, he knows about the promise of the Lord. And again, you and I need to know the promises. Our Lord is well pleased when we take those promises of His Word and bring them back to Him. Lord, You said this. You said this. And I'm not talking about a prosperity, wealth and prosperity gospel. I'm talking about what the Lord has promised us and where we're living life and how we go to our Lord to say, Lord, I need Your help in this. I need Your help in this. Give me this mountain. The promise that You gave me, the Lord gave me in that day. If so be, the Lord will be with me. You know what? He's resting in what the Lord will do. Brother Caleb's going to go ahead and go forth. You know what? Maybe the Lord wouldn't let him take that city. And you know what? He'll rest in that. But what the Lord will give him, he'll take. And he'll go in the strength and the power of his Lord. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. I'll only be able to go as far as the Lord takes me. But I tell you what, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go toward what He has given me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The Lord said in the beginning to all of us that He would drive them out. And He would use different means to drive them out. He would use us to drive them out. He'd use the hornets to drive them out. However the Lord would do it, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go meet the promise that I've been waiting on for 40 years that the Lord gave me. I'm ready to go in the strength and the power of the Lord. What is your mountain? Is it health? Serious maladies, cancer, diabetes, debilitating arthritis, there's so many things that plague these old bodies. Problems with getting older, the age of the body and the wearing down of the body. What is your mountain? Maybe it's finances, not enough to go around. The plague of spending too much. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you've got a conflict at work. Maybe the mountain that you and I face are character issues, besetting sins, lack of control of our hearts and our minds, and falling to peer pressure, which is all around. Maybe we've got the issue of bitterness that is our mountain. How about in our marriages? Not being the spouse that we should be, or not being faithful in our heart, or not providing for our families, whatever it might be. How about in our relationships towards our brothers and sisters, toward our neighbors, toward our Lord and Savior? Not being a good witness of Him, not fellowshipping with our Lord each and every day during the day, not learning about our Lord. What's our mountain? Not feeding on His Word, not walking with Him. What is your mountain? What is my mountain? Our Lord has told us that He can help us and He will help us with these mountains. But we need to go to Him. It tells us in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, take a look over here in this light over here, the Lord coming down from the mountain of transfiguration. Having brought our brethren and taken our brethren, Peter, James, and John, up there, and they come down, they see the Lord's glory, they see Elijah and Moses there, they talk about the Lord going to Jerusalem and giving His life on Calvary, and they hear the voice of God, the Father, if you will, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He comes down from the mountain, and there's this man that's brought his son and to the disciples that remained, the apostles that remained, and they've tried to cast out the demon within him. In verse number 15 of Matthew 17, the father says that his son is a lunatic and sore vexed. This demon takes him into the fire. It takes him into the water to destroy him. He said, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And then Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples, Jesus apart, they're off by themselves, and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief in me. Understand, faith, believing, hope, trust, rest, or the contra of those, the negative of those, is always directed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't believe that I would give you the power, or the power that I've given you was enough to do it. Isn't that what he's saying? See, faith and lack of faith don't stand by themselves. It's all focused towards our Lord. We either have faith in him or we doubt him. What's your mountain? For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know how big that is? I could probably put on my pointer fingernail, I could probably get a 150 mustard seeds on that fingernail. And I've got a little fingernail. He said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. See, we do need to be talking to our Lord about our life. We need to be talking to our Lord about our mountains. We need to be going to our Lord with our mountains. We need to know the promises of our Lord and bring those back to him. And indeed, we always need to submit to the will of the Lord in our lives. But may we not take our perceived understanding of the will of our Lord in our lives and just chalk off or cast off our lack of pursuit and responsibility. So, well, that's just what the Lord has done. You understand what I'm saying? Let's not blame the Lord for our lack. But may we pray to him. May we go to him. May we trust in him. May we rest in him. May we pursue this about prayer and fasting in the mountains that we face. Indeed, we've gotten away from that, or as the understanding is amongst our kind of Baptist. I even hate saying that, but you understand what I mean. We've gotten away from fasting, haven't we? We've been so blessed, and praise the Lord for his blessings. What is your mountain? Regarding the fig tree outside of Jerusalem, this is a one-time thing with our Lord, but in Matthew chapter 21 and also in Mark chapter 11, if you will turn to Matthew 21, our Lord brings this back again, this thought again about the removing of mountains and faith in him and faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Faith in our Lord like a mustard seed does. You know what the wonderful thing about a mustard seed is? It's such a small seed, but it grows up, our Lord tells us, into a tree that is able to house birds. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. Just that much faith in our Lord. In Matthew chapter 21, regarding the fig tree that our Lord cursed, and he wasn't even the time of figs, and I believe this fig tree is symbolic of Israel and how the Lord's saying it's coming to the end for this nation carrying and having the keys of the kingdom of God. Our Lord says in verse number 21, as the disciples marveled about how soon this fig tree had withered away and, if you will, been turned to firewood, it was dry. Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 21 of Matthew 21, verily I say unto you, if you have faith in me and doubt not, in me. Ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer unto me, believing, ye shall receive. You know, our Lord will help us with our mountains. But I tell you what, we don't need to be thinking about going to him. We don't need to be grieving and agonizing and have guilt over them. But we need to go to our Lord with them and talk to him about these mountains that we face. In Mark chapter 11, this same account is given here. There's some different wording that I want us to see. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 23, Mark 11, verse number 23, it's accounted here, our Lord says this, and Jesus answering saith unto them, they marveled about the fig tree. They said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. I mean, it was dry. You could have lit a match to it and it would have burned up. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, not doubt me in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray unto me, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if any have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Over at the meeting that they had at Son of You, where Brother Sean Trescott pastors, Brother Raul Bergman preached a message on forgiveness and how the forgiveness of the Lord is. And you know what? That's the way that we need to forgive, the way the Lord's forgiven us. You know, as the children of God, our Lord, by the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our sins, our Lord has forgotten our sins. They do not stand against us. We have a responsibility to live as children, and our disobedience and our fault and failure, there our Lord will account and we'll receive rewards or we'll have things taken from us. But in regards to the soul, and the eternity of the soul, and the salvation of sinners, my Lord has forgotten my iniquity through Christ. That's a way we need to forgive. You know, that's, we remember, don't we? That's the point a brother brought out. It's hard to forget. But we need to forget like our Lord forgets. May the Lord help us in that. He says, if you have aught, forgive. Against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. What is your mountain? May our Lord help us. May our Lord help us. Brother Caleb says, now therefore give me this mountain. Help me to conquer this mountain, Lord. Whereof the Lord spake in that day his promises. If so be, the Lord will be with me. We need him. We need to go to him. Look to him. Know that he'll help us. Then I shall be able to drive them out. I'll be able to conquer this mountain that I have, as the Lord said.